Now, we've talked several times with Andrew Summers and John Debenham about various books that they've written on Essex, but the latest offering, The Essex 100 Histories, must have been the most challenging to date, as they've managed to telescope 2,000 years of historical facts into a single volume. From the exploits of Queen Boudicca, or do we call her Queen Boudicca, to the wind turbines at Ford's Dagenham, and from the deeds of smugglers to natural disasters, it's all here in just one book. And John Debenham's drawn the short straw to come in and tell us all about this masterpiece today. So first off, John, how on earth did you set about such a momentous task, and what did you hope to achieve?
Well, from Roman times onwards, Essex has seen rebellions, invasions, civil wars and riots. But in between these numerous upsets, and sometimes because of them, the essence of the county has been formed by individuals, the good, the bad, the eccentric and the downright unlucky. See, we wanted to highlight the role of some of these people. The good, like the Lee fishermen that sailed off to Dunkirk, and the bad, like Dick Turpin. The eccentric, covered by Lionel Lukin, who invented the unsinkable lifeboat and tested it on the local pond in Dunmo. And could anybody be more unlucky than Anne Boleyn of Rochford, who really married the wrong man?
Absolutely. Just need to get you in a bit closer to that mic there.
Right. Okay.
Okay, now, you and Andrew, of course, are Essex 100 publications. I guess most people have heard of the Essex 100, but they might not know just what that is. And, of course, as I say, you've encapsulated this book into 100 events and personalities which originated in Essex, but went on to shape the nation's history in some cases. So perhaps you could tell us just what the Essex 100 was and how you went about choosing the 100 personalities and events out of so many that there are.
Well, firstly, let's get one thing straight. There's no such thing as the Essex 100.
Ah, right.
Apart from the fact that it is our brand name, if you like. The hundreds of Essex, however, are very real, and a brief explanation of their origin we've included in the introduction in this book. In the Domesday Book, Essex was comprised of having 17 hundreds and 4 half hundreds. Their development is a fascinating topic and may well be the subject of a later book. Where it came about, in our first book, we told the county's history in 100 poems, each with a short factual historic note in the topic. The Essex 100 had a certain ring to it, so that's what we called it. Many readers of this book contacted us for more information than the short notes provided. The result was inevitably Essex 100 Histories, what we're talking about today.
Now, this book covers such diverse issues, including the strong Essex connections with many issues of national importance, some of which, like Magna Carta, we discussed earlier with you, and whilst others, such as the Peasant Revolt, the Dissolution of the Monasteries, the Pilgrim Fathers, and Shakespeare, we've covered in some depth with some of the other contributors here. Whilst your new book covers the huge impact made by many private companies like Ford, Marconi, Courtaulds, Wilkin of Tiptree, Crittle Windows, etc., you've also unearthed some incredible stories about lesser-known people and events. So I wonder if today we could take a look at some of these. So perhaps we could start with the story of the Witham Fires and 16-year-old James Cook, who seems to have been very unfortunate. Can you tell us a little bit more about that event?
Well, yeah, one of the delights of researching a book like this is discovering little-known facts. For example, Lieutenant Edward Balby, who fought under Wellington at the Battle of Trafalgar and then became the rector of St. Mary's in Little Thurrock, where parishioners remained in ignorance of his exploits until 2015.
Really? All that time?
Yeah. But James Cook, however, that was a classic miscarriage of justice. In the eyes of the establishment, something had to be done, and the fires at Witham began on the 5th of November. They were first thought to be the result of Guy Fawkes celebrations. Protest fires and riots had been happening in North Essex, however, And the first fire was at Oliver's farm, where James Cook, who lived above the brew house, worked as a cowboy. He was a simple soul, and when he was interrogated, on different occasions he confessed three times, each confession contradicting the others. Nevertheless, he was sent to jail in Chelmsford for trial, but the fires continued while he was there. Still, he was sentenced to death after a trial of sorts.
Well, sorts, I would say, definitely. Yeah. He got sentenced to death when he was still in jail when the fires continued.
Well, absolutely. The convention at the time was that the death sentence would be commuted to prison or deportation. The judge, however, in this case, refused, saying, "An example must be made to deter others. And pleas for clemency to the Home Secretary, Robert Peel, and the King were also refused." And poor James was hanged at Chelmsford before a very, very angry crowd.
Well, yeah, it's disgraceful, absolutely. Okay, sticking with crime-related issues, perhaps we can move on to the riots in Clacton and the later incidents of housebreaking in Coggeshall. So what sparked off these riots, which I think was in 1830?
That's right, 1830. The swing riots, they were a local manifestation, if you like, of a much wider protest, particularly in Essex and East Anglia. Agricultural labourers at the time were, in the main, very low paid, and unemployment was widespread, swollen by soldiers returning from the wars. But with the advent of new machinery, a threshing machine could do the work of a team of men in half the time. So naturally, the labourers were fearful for their livelihoods. And as in the case of the peasants' famous revolt in the 13th century, people just decided enough was enough and something had to be done.
Well, and so they went on these riots. Okay, the swing riots were clearly a result of an industrial grievance and not confined to Essex. But what about the housebreaking incidents in Coggeshall? Because they were something else entirely, were they not?
Oh, yes, most definitely. The Coggeshall gang, if you like, were a group of nasty criminals bent on enriching themselves by a violent burglary using torture, like holding their victims over a fire to make them divulge their wealth.
Charming.
Yeah, their reign of terror lasted for 4 years, from 1844 to 48. And it was reminiscent of Dick Turpin's gang 100 years earlier. They were a very real challenge to the newly formed, in 1840, Essex Police Force. Coggeshall at the time had just two constables, with a superintendent away in Witham. But they eventually got their man, and who were all convicted and transported or imprisoned. And peace reigned, well, a relative peace reigned.
Now, okay, now many parts of Essex, of course, have been associated with tales of witchcraft, in spite of the efforts of the witch finder General Matthew Hopkins, also covered in your book. But I'd like, in particular, to turn to the tales of the sea, which Sarah Moore, who hailed from Victoria Wharf in what is now Old Lee. Tell us a bit about her, if you can.
About the sea witch, yes. Yeah. Well, according to contemporary descriptions, Mother Moore, as she was known, who was a real person, she looked the part of the archetype witch, with her weather-beaten, wrinkled skin, her hooked nose and hare lip.
Sounds a bit like my wife. I hope she's not listening.
She is. Well, Sarah Moore is known to have cursed 5 babies in the town after the death of her own son from cholera, and they all died. Coincidence maybe, but the facts are borne out by parish records. Perhaps the most famous legendary tale concerning her is of a skipper who refused to buy a fair wind from her and laughed in her face. He set sail and ran into a freak storm. The boat keeled over, and to stop it being dragged under, the skipper took an axe to the rigging, giving 3 blows and shouting, "I'll kill that witch." Now, on the return to shore, after being rescued, they found on the quayside the slumped body of Sarah Moore, dead from what looked like three blows of an axe. Well, that's the legend, but she does have a pub in Lee named after her, so it can't be all bad.
Does she really? I didn't know that.
Absolutely.
In where? In Old Lee?
Up the hill from old town. Yeah.
Oh, and that's called the Sarah Moore.
Sarah Moore.
Do you know, I've never seen that. I've lived in Lee all my life, and I've never seen that.
Yep.
Look, thanks for all of that. Now, I only wish we had more time to look at the quite astonishing plethora of information contained in this major masterpiece. Now, if you've got any interest in the history and the county that we live in, this book has to be a must for you. Be an ideal Christmas present, that's for sure. So, come on, you've got to tell us where people can lay their hands on a copy of this treasure trove of information.
Well, the Essex 100 Histories is available in all good bookshops.
As they say.
And any difficulty, it's also available through our website, which is www.essex100.com.
And how much is it?
And it's a bargain at £8.99.
I'd say it is a bargain, that's right. Well, thanks ever so much for coming in again, giving us the lowdown on the Essex 100 Histories. Good luck with it, and good luck with whatever you've got another one planned.
It's a bit early to call it planned yet, but ideas are mulling around, and you never know.
Well, watch that space. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.